Today's scripture comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7 and then 11 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, a grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Seems appropriate as we're in spring, we're entering road construction season, and we all know that we're going to start to see the orange signs popping up everywhere, and when we see the sign, stay in your lane, we know that we're either going to lose the shoulders on either side of us, or we're going to do a lane shift and go flying off to the left or the right to allow the construction to continue. And as soon as we see that line, we start looking around us at those other people. Have you ever been in a driver's ed car and seen the extra brake over on the other side? I have a confession to make. My dream is that one day I will have a brake pedal that will have a radio signal. I'll be able to stop them and stop them. Because it drives me crazy watching other people drive who aren't paying attention. My pet peeve is the sign that says, left lane ends in 2 miles. And we're driving along, and I'm leaving a gap in front of me. I have an air bubble mentality when I drive. I always want space around me. A mile goes by, a few people start slipping in. The line keeps on moving. Another mile starts to go by. We're starting to come up to the very end. I make a little gap in front of me for one more car. That car slips in, and then there's a car right next to me with its front end about even with my back passenger door, and they put on a turn signal and start moving sideways. And I'm going, can't they read? Didn't they see that 2 miles ago this lane was going to end? And yet they didn't make a plan to get their butt over there? I know how it's supposed to work, the zipper thing, you know, and how everyone's supposed to let one in. But people don't even count. They don't see that three cars aren't going to fit in the one slot. And they have 2 miles to figure it out. And I get so angry, I can't stand it. And I said, would it really be that bad if I just made a sharp left and put them in the barrels? The answer is yes, that would be bad. And what has happened over time is audiobooks have allowed me to de-stress when I drive and allow me to just do my driving and not worry about how the other people drive. One of the things, I receive counseling magazines because of my certification as a counselor, and one of the things that stuck with me is the people with the highest stress level are the ones who need to control other people's behavior in order to be happy. Because you can only control people for short periods of time. And eventually they start acting on their own impulse and your frustration level goes up. That's the stay in your lane understanding. I hesitate to use sports analogies because they always come to me because I have somewhat of an obsession with sports. But this one fits so well that I had to share it with you. There's a man by the name of Bill Belichick. He is the coach of the New England Patriots. He has won not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but 6 Super Bowls. And his mantra is, do your job well. One of the things that happened is he always interviews the players that are about to be drafted to find people who can grasp that understanding. And he had red flags when he interviewed who was likely the best athlete in the draft that year. He was a man by the name of Ndamukong Suh. He was a phenomenal defensive lineman. He was so big and he was so strong that in the games he would take 300-pound men and he would just move them to the side. But the problem was, if you looked at the tape, he was always trying to do it by himself. He tried to decide if it was a run play or pass play, and he was going to go after whoever had the ball. And what Belichick saw was the opposing coaches began to understand that. And the name of the game became Go Where Sue Just Left. So they'd make the ball go to the right. Sue would go to the right, and they'd throw a pass right behind where he was. Because they could always count on him chasing the ball and not doing his own job. Detroit Lions found out it was true. He had a wonderful stat-filled sheet, but they never won when he was there because they were able to exploit that. To Sue's credit, he began to learn. He played with better and better players. He learned that if he stayed in the scheme and he played his spot and he did his job, things might turn out okay. Do you know what happened this year? He won a Super Bowl ring with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because he did his job. He stayed in the scheme, and he didn't tear the defense up by deciding that he knew better and he was going to go his own way. We have the same problem as a society, the need to control other people's behavior. The thing is I think all of you are jumping to somebody that you know who needs to do that. Somebody on that side or somebody on that side. But you see, the scripture doesn't talk about that side. It talks about you. You're the one who's supposed to stay in your lane. You're supposed to do what it is that you're called to do. You might be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, an equipper. And you need to do your job. Because if you're doing somebody else's job, who's doing yours? One of the hardest things about the Christian faith is that God is working on everybody in their own time. And we all don't arrive at the same places together. And that can be frustrating. But it's not our job to walk their walk. I mean, would you really go to somebody and say, could you eat this dessert for me and tell me how it tastes? Unless you're on a really nasty diet. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? You want to experience it for yourself. You can't experience it for somebody else, and someone else can't experience it for you. You can only do what God is calling you to do in the moment. Staying in your lane is hard. It means that there are people who are off the reservation, who don't get it, who aren't paying attention. You can offer help. They might not be ready for help. You can offer them advice that they're not going to listen to. But it doesn't mean that you can't do your part in the moment. I think one of the things that I find most humbling about walking with God is God doesn't tend to use your greatest accomplishments for his purposes. I had some fantastic standardized test scores. I graduated magna cum laude. I was in who's who in colleges and universities. I was at Duke Divinity School. Nobody really cares. However, I was put on academic probation back when I was at Western as a sophomore. Do you know how many people God has sent me who are struggling academically and think they're going to flunk out? I can't even count them anymore. When I was in some of the jobs I've had, I didn't make enough money to do anything, and I ended up deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And people come to me and they said, well, you don't know what it's like to be so deep in debt that you're afraid you'll never get out. Do you know how many people God has sent me in that situation? It seems every time I have a challenge or a failure or in my life, that is what God wants to lift up. As something that can help someone else. Is a it's kind of a reverse understanding of pay it forward. But as you go through these low points in life, God is with you. And the only way you can repay him is to allow him to use those in the days to come for someone who might be walking through that same valley. You can't walk it for them. They might not be ready for your advice, but you can be there when it is that they reach out. You do your job. You walk your walk with Christ. You stay in your lane. And you wait for the opportunity that God will bring you. You're not allowed to get out of your lane to go help someone else. But staying in your lane, living your life, and walking your walk with Christ may bring you to the exact place you need to be when that person finally reaches out and is ready for God to help them too. Could you pray with me? Lord, life is hard. So often we look out and we see how things should be done, and yet no one is doing them that way. We've seen people banging their heads against a wall, and we wish that we could guide them away. We look at people who are lost, playing the games of this world and missing a relationship with you. Lord, we just ask that you would give us your peace that passes understanding as we drive, as we stay in our lane, and as we wait for you to use us. We ask that you give us your eyes and your ears, so we might hear the cries of those who need us, that we might be able to see the world through your eyes. Allow us to be your hands and feet. But give us the peace and patience to do it in your time. And all God's people said,